It is almost always better to take the scenic route. Today, we find out just what that means here in Washington State. Welcome to RV Out West. I'm your host, Brooks. My family of four's base camp is located in the beautiful Pacific Northwest, and our RV adventures radiate out from there. Please grab a mug of coffee and join us as we discuss RVing around the American West. From sweet camping spots, gear and equipment, to tips and tricks, we've got you covered. We are RV Out West. Ever since that first time I got behind the wheel at 15 and a half, when my dad tossed me the keys after passing my test and earning my learner's permit, well, son, he said, you're driving home. Congrats. The road has always had a place for me. I've crisscrossed America by road 7 times now, and I've logged countless miles. There just is something so special and so quintessentially Americana as a road trip. In my mid-20s, I read Jack Kerouac's On the Road, and I have since read it a few more times. It's one of my favorites. And a great quote from the book is, "But why think about that when all the golden lands ahead of you and all kinds of unforeseen events wait, lurking to surprise you and make you glad you're alive to see?" I think to understand this, we are always in such a hurry to get here and there that we mostly travel on the interstates. But let's not forget that we have many great roads out there. For example, we have many scenic byways here in Washington State. According to Scenic America, quote, "The National Scenic Byways Program was established by Congress in 1991, and it recognized and protects historic, archaeological, recreational, natural, scenic, and culturally important roads, and to promote tourism and economic development," end quote. Joining us today on RV Out West is Jennifer Coleman, publisher of Scenic Washington. This is a great resource to learn about our beautiful drives and places to explore here in Washington. Jennifer, thank you for chatting with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Can you tell me a bit about you?
I consider myself a Washingtonian because I've lived here since I was 12. And so I grew up here in Northwest Washington, Bellingham area. And I've always been a little bit outdoorsy, but kind of tame. So, you know, like skiing, I love hiking. That's kind of turned into more of my area of interest. I've done a few hikeathons with the Washington Trails Association because it's kind of fun to just log the miles and see where they take you. I've done a couple of these cool Trek for Treasures that they have locally. They send you out on specific hikes. And so I've explored a lot of specifically the Northwest Washington area, but whenever I travel, I always try to factor in a hike so I can see, you know, see the sights and see the varied landscapes. But yeah, so I'm a Washingtonian, I feel like, at heart, and totally enjoy getting out there and seeing the stuff.
That's wonderful. Why don't you share with us a bit about just what is Scenic Washington in case listeners are not familiar?
Yeah, so Scenic Washington explores the 29 officially designated scenic byways throughout our state. I would say Scenic Washington is a like storyteller, wants to get information out to travelers to inspire them to explore in Washington. We publish, so we have a few different products. We have 2 print products. One of them is a road trip guidebook, which is, you know, like it fits in your glove compartment. It's a it's like a 100-page little guidebook, and it has all of the different scenic byways. It's organized by region. And then we have a roadmap, which is the official DOT standard, full-size, fold-out paper roadmap. So we print those both each year. And then we also do social media. Our main social media page, it's called 365 Things to Do in Washington. And that one is basically from January 1st through December 31st. Every single day we do a single post and we feature a different location for, you know, throughout the state. And it varies. It could be a natural area. It could be an attraction, a museum, you know, kind of seasonally significant depending on what's going on. And we have also an e-newsletter that people get that we send out our stories. And so that was kind of like where the storytelling thing came in. We like to get information and or go out and do things and write about it and then send that out to the readers.
How long has Scenic Washington as a website been around?
Well, we started that's kind of a tough one because it's gone through sort of different versions. I would say 2012 was really when we launched in this capacity focused on the scenic byways. Prior to that, we had a contract with the Washington State Tourism Department, and we published their travel planner, which was more of a general and kind of a broad magazine about the entire state. And so through some changes with funding and different things, we took a different direction and just focused on the byways. And so 2012 was when Scenic Washington was born, if you will. And it's grown and changed a little bit over the last, I guess it's been 12 years. And so it's now sort of, I feel like, at the point where we're fully encompassing just road tripping, scenic byways, and that is our interest area.
Main focus.
Yeah, main focus.
And you said Washington State has 29 scenic byways?
Yes, 29 officially designated scenic byways. And there's three different designations. So we have All American Roads. There's two of those. And those are, they just have qualifications based on their certain qualities. And those designations are earned through a process of applying, you know, to get that designation. And basically it just says, this is an All-American road. And so they got like a pink stripe instead of being a national scenic byway, which we have. And I need to absolutely be positive on my number here because we added one. Just recently, we added a national. So we're up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 now. We used to have 5 of them. And then the rest of them are state scenic byways. And those are designated here at a state level.
So we have 6 national scenic byways.
Yes.
Just out of comparison, what is the average per state?
That is such a good question. And I probably should know that. I just joined the National Scenic Byway Foundation this last year. And not every state has a scenic byway. We have Washington and Colorado have a lot. And I don't know, I will have to research that. Yeah, but.
Yeah, that's okay. It seems like it's a lot for a state, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it is. I would say the average is probably around 12, but Colorado is close. Some states, like I said, don't have them, and I can get that statistic for you.
No, it's just interesting. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you start working for Scenic Washington then?
So I started working in 1997. It was like one of my first jobs, and I worked answering the phone. It was like a call center job back then, and it evolved over time. And then as things started changing and I'd been there longer, I started really taking an interest in the publishing side of the business, doing sales and marketing, working on content creation and that. From 2012 through 2020, when the owner was, he was getting ready to retire by then, it was kind of building in this direction. And so it was an easy step in for me. I knew the business inside and out. I was the bookkeeper as well. And so I had a very good understanding on what I was getting into. And during COVID, it was sort of like this somewhat of a question mark, just in terms of how is marketing going to work, you know, because things were changing so much during that. Interestingly, a kind of silver lining is everybody was all about, like, they wanted to do things, but it was road trips. It was family time. It was get in the car and go somewhere. It wasn't about big, big travel. And so a lot of the in-state travel and road trip stuff was booming during the COVID time. We had to be real careful about, you know, what we were promoting and what was available and accessible. But for the most part, that was a pretty good time to take over. And so I rebranded it, and that was really just a matter of, you know, like a new logo and some minor design elements that I wanted to incorporate as I took ownership. And that was basically in 2020. And so here it is, 2024, and we're chugging right along. It's been going great.
That's really exciting. Can you share with us kind of where you find your inspiration for writing stories and finding these cool bits and pieces of our magnificent state? I'm very biased about Washington State, so.
I know. Me too. It's kind of an easy sell. Washington is just scenic on its own, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So a lot of our stories, those ideas will come from our clients. And so our advertisers are the ones that make it possible for us to print and produce and publish our printed guidebook and to do this work. And so if one of them has an event or something specific that's happening in their region, they'll send that to us. We'll send a writer to do it, or they'll write a story specifically about it. I had great opportunity this summer to go down and explore the Columbia River Gorge. And as a result of that trip, wrote a story about that. And so a lot of it's content that is me, myself going out, doing the byway, driving it, or a client says, hey, can you feature, we've got this cool event coming up, can we get that on there? And so some of that content comes directly from them.
So I want to dive in to some road trip recommendations from you as the scenic Washington expert. What are some fun off the beaten routes that you recommend? And what is it about these routes that you love?
That is the question. I know it's a big challenge. In fact, we get a lot of phone calls. People say, I'm coming to Seattle. I want to go to Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, and North Cascades National Park. They're like the national park people, right? And so it's funny to break it down, the reality of the driving time, the distances, the popularity of, you know, those locations can sometimes be challenging, especially during the summertime. So it's nice to have so many other off, like you say, off the path, off the beaten path locations that still present with the amazing scenic views, hidden little, small towns. And so I have a few, I'll tell you. So this last summer, I did 3 scenic byway excursions. So I should also kind of backdate or preface this with, I have not been to all 29 of the scenic byways. I've been to 27 of them. So I have 2 that I have yet to go to. And they just so happen to be the 2 furthest from each other. One of them is Cape Flattery, which is our furthest northwest point of the contiguous United States. I haven't been out there yet. And then I also haven't done the entire Selkirk Loop, International Selkirk Loop, which goes from the far northeast corner up into Canada, down Idaho. I haven't done those 2. But each year, you know, I've got my list, and some of them I do every year because they're my top, you know, favorites when we do road trips as a family. But this summer I got to do a fabulous trip on the Columbia River Gorge. So State Route 14 from Vancouver. I went as far as Goldendale, and this goes along the Columbia River, just stunning, beautiful scenery. It's really neat because it changes pretty dramatically in a fairly short distance. So if you go from west to, well, either way, either direction, it changes. But I went from Vancouver, so from the west side, very heavily forested. We're talking, you know, waterfalls, thick forest, beautiful. Beacon Rock is down there, which is a really cool thing. You can walk up this big volcanic plug, and it's like 868 feet, I think, up to the top of it, and you get this gorgeous view of the Columbia River both ways. It's a beautiful spot. As it goes east, you know, you kind of get into it's more desert. You see the kind of craggy basalt rock. There's vineyards getting further and further east. It's just really dry. There's a bunch of tunnels along that route. So it's a really interesting and fun drive to do. And that was fun this summer. And it's not super crowded. I mean, most of the places that we went to, we did some hiking and we went out to Goldendale. Just really fantastic during the summer. Okay, so that's one of them. Another one, which I think is highly, highly overlooked, is the Yakima River Canyon Scenic Byway. And this one, if you're in Ellensburg and you need to get to Yakima, usually people just keep on 80, or I think it's 82. It gets you up and over and then drops you into Yakima, which, you know, that's kind of the standard route. But if you take State Route 821, which is also known as Canyon Road, it goes just along the river. And it is the most beautiful drives in our state. It's just really rugged. The river going along, the road winds with it, but all the rock formations and the kind of desert landscape in that canyon, it's like literally right off the side there, and people bypass it probably because it's too windy or too icy in the winter or whatever, you know, the reasons why people take the fast way is because they're on the way to where they're going. And sometimes it's all about what you see along the way. Yeah, exactly. That's one thing I would say, like, I should have told my kids that when they were younger, not about like where we're going, but what we're going to see along the way to where we're going. Because then it's not, are we there yet? Are we there yet? It's more like, oh, well, you know, we can pull off and look at stuff because that's what we're doing. That is a beautiful road. I did it in October this year. And so the fall colors, they get a lot of kind of golds and yellows, really, really crimson red over there. Stunning, just really beautiful. And then Mount St. Helens. And I know it's a national monument, so it does get some attention just by sort of default. A lot of people, when they're traveling, they want to hit these certain locations or on their list or whatever. But there's two ways into Mount St. Helens. They're both out and back. You have the north, which is State Route 504. And that goes pretty much from Castle Rock all the way in. And that's called the Spirit Lake Memorial Highway. And there's a bunch of really cool bridges. Amazing regrowth of the forest out there is really remarkable. When you drive, you can see they've planted it. And each of these sections or stands of trees are labeled with the type of tree that they've planted. And you can, and then it's just been left. And so you can really see the growth pattern. And it's interesting, the different species of trees that they've planted out there. But then the south side, so on 503 down through Cougar, you end up coming up behind the mountains. So the view is so different. You see, so when Mount St. Helens blew to the north. And so when you go on the Spirit Lake Highway, you can drive up to like the blast zone. You can see the big open thing. And it's like, stunning. Like, how many places in the U.S. can you drive into a volcanic blast zone, right? It's like, it's very cool. The challenge this year was that the Johnson Ridge Observatory, the road up to that had washed out. And so you could only go up to a certain point. And actually, I think that's going to be washed out, or it's not going to quite be open for a while. They have to re-engineer and do things to get the road fixed. So I was like, well, I want to go around the other side and see what I can see. And it was amazing. You can access so many different hikes. There's Ape Cave is back there, which is a long lava tube. If you're like a adventurous person, you want to go underground. You do need a reservation for that. And you also need a lot of layers and some headlight or headlamps because it's really dark. But there's this really cool trail up there, which has a bunch of tree wells that were where the lava came, and the trees that were there were huge, but they burned, but it left these big, huge wells. And so they made a kind of a boardwalk up above this lava flow, and you can look down, and there's little spots where like kids can crawl in and crawl through these lava flows, and they're solid. It's pretty neat. It's an interesting place to go because you learn a lot about, you know, that actually happened within our lifetime, and that's a pretty cool thing to get up close to. Those are kind
of, remember,
yeah, that. Those are like,
I was here.
Were you? You were in Washington.
Yeah. I was living in Pullman when she blew her top. And so, yeah.
Yeah. I know that's always a popular post when we do it on our Facebook page, May 18th, where were you? And people all have, you know, that instant memory of, oh, I was in my grandpa's house, or, you know, we saw the ash in our yard. And yeah, it's pretty interesting to see the photos that come out during that, people sharing. I would say those are my top three for kind of not your standard locations, but there's also the Cooley Corridor, which is like pretty much one of the most geologically interesting parts of Washington. Not a lot of people really, if they don't go east side, really know what that landscape looks like. And you can take Highway 2 just east, and you're looking at massive, massive boulders in the middle of flat fields, and like, how did that get there? There's history about how it got there. It's really interesting.
I'm going to nail you down to one.
Okay.
What is your favorite place to visit in Washington State?
Okay. So my absolute favorite, I'll call it a road trip because it's not necessarily a single destination, but it's the North Cascades Highway. Pretty much from, because I hike a lot. So every year, usually kind of towards fall, I'll try to find a different hike up there that I haven't done before. And it's kind of getting to the point now where I've done quite a bit of them. So I got to maybe go again to another one. But just the drive up there alone is so beautiful, and it's hardly ever congested. I mean, you know, you do get traffic on the weekends, but it doesn't feel, even though it's part of a national park, it doesn't feel like it's super crowded when you go. There are certain times of the year where it does get crowded just for certain things like the larch trees in fall or, you know, whatever. But Diablo Lake, beautiful. There's two rest areas, or I guess pullouts, if you will, on that highway that are like, they themselves are worth the drive. So if a person isn't necessarily inclined to hike around or whatever, but they want to go see something that's truly what I would call scenic, like one of those viewpoints, just pull into Washington Pass Overlook and you just are shocked. I mean, Liberty Bell Mountain, this huge, you know, North Cascade spire just jutting right up, and you can drive up to that to see it. And so I feel like that's always kind of my heart road trip. I do that every summer. I usually end up in Winthrop or Twisp, you know, because it's the natural progression to stay over there. Mazama, of course, is another favorite little town to stay in, but I would say that's my favorite. I still have two left. I still have two left to see, though. So
okay,
maybe check back and we'll see.
So that may change. Yeah. That may change.
Yeah.
Well, where is one place that you think is really underrated here in Washington?
I would say the Palouse. The Palouse, which is the rolling hills of Southeast Washington, is underrated. I think people forget about, or maybe they don't identify that as being a scenically beautiful place or something, but depending on the season too, it's really a remarkable thing. So in the spring, you've got like rolling green hills just of canola that turns into bright yellow flowers, really beautiful. Palouse Falls is out there, and that's technically our state's official waterfall. Amazing. Have you been to Palouse Falls? Like, do you know what I'm talking about?
I absolutely know about Palouse Falls. Yes. Again, I was born in Pullman, so I'm familiar with the area. But that said, I actually have not been to Palouse Falls.
Oh, you haven't? Oh,
I haven't. You gotta go. It's on my list. I need to go. So let me ask you this then. Where is some place you haven't been to in Washington that you really want to go see for yourself? For me, it's Mount St. Helens. I am embarrassed to admit that I was alive when Mount St. Helens blew. And yeah. I'm pretty much born and raised in the state, and I've never been to Mount St. Helens. So that each year gets higher and higher up on my list.
Yeah. And you know, the cool thing about Mount St. Helens, at least when I was there, is it isn't crowded. It doesn't feel, because I've done Mount Rainier, and that to me is wonderful and beautiful, but it's a crowded experience, you know, because it's just busy there. And so I would say, to answer your question, for sure, it's Cape Flattery. And that is the far northwest point of Washington. There's really just beautiful sea stacks and the Cape Flattery Trail that goes out to the, you know, ocean there. You can see out to Tatish Island. There's a lighthouse out there. Okay, so that's pretty much on my top list. I'll probably get out there this year. It's been kind of a long time coming. You know, it's like, I got to get to all the scenic byways for sure.
Okay, Cape Flattery. All right. Well, we're beginning to wrap up. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that I did not ask?
It's interesting, you know, with doing technically tourism promotion, or where you're talking to people who are interested in visiting a state and framing it a certain way. It's sometimes there's challenges in different things, but it's cool to have the old standby, which is scenic Washington. There's just some things here that are so special and remarkable. It's a great place to be able to share and to continue to explore and discover as a resident here. I just, each year I'm always excited to find a new place. And even on those byways that I've gone on lots of times, I just think there's always something to see, and seasonal, depending on what time of year you go, you know, it can present different things too. So
I would agree.
Pretty great.
So Scenic Washington has been actually a really great resource that I have used when I'm looking to plan some of my RV camping trips, to find cool places to go, to get some information about some, you know, a particular area that I've not been to. So where can people learn more and find Scenic Washington online?
So there, the best place, our website, which is scenicwa.com. That site has all kinds of information, and we're working on, so there's a road trips tab. If you click on that, it pops up all of the different byways by region and by name. And so you can click on like the Spirit Lake Memorial Highway, for example, which is the one that'll take you up to Mount St. Helens. It'll have information about the byway, and then it'll have points of interest along the way that may or may not, you know, be places that you want to go visit. So that's pretty handy. We have an interactive map on that site, which is nice for folks who don't really necessarily know from, you know, Seattle to Pullman, like what would be involved in getting there, how long, how far away that would be. So that's pretty neat. You can kind of see it all as a big map and what the different highlighted areas are. And then our social media, that tends to be a really great way for us to engage with people. We get lots of feedback and people sharing their own experiences for places that we've posted. For example, we just did one on the Tree of Life out at Kalaloc Beach. I don't know if you've been there. You probably know about that. And so this tree that's sort of tenaciously hanging to the side of the cliffs there is actually starting to kind of sink down a little, and they're noticing a pretty significant drop in the last couple of years. And so, you know, people are saying, go, if you're going to go look at it, it might be down. It might fall down because of erosion and the king tides and everything else that are impacting it. And so people, you know, that have been there like yesterday or something say, hey, I was just there yesterday and here's my picture. And so it's pretty cool. You get this kind of up-to-date, you know, check-ins from people who've gone there. So that's pretty neat. And then we just try to be really consistent with those social posts, sending them out every day so people have ideas. We get a lot of requests, people saying, can I get the printed list? We've been doing it since 2012 and we don't print that list because it would be 365 pages every year. But we do print a guidebook. And so that's a pretty good resource as well. And they're free for people to pick up. They can get them at most visitor centers in Washington. And we also fulfill them on demand. So if they go to our website, they can order it for free. They could email and we can send it out. So those are probably the best ways to get information and start trip planning.
That is so wonderful. And what a great, great resource. So thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us here on RV Out West. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
As we close this episode, here's another quote from On the Road by Jack Kerouac. Nothing behind me, everything ahead of me, as is ever so on the road. And so like I always say, get out there and go see what's beyond the horizon. Thank you so much for listening. I'm asking you to do two things for me. Please give RV Out West a follow on Facebook and Instagram. And please share with your RVing friends and family about this podcast. I sure would appreciate it. Next Monday's episode, we share a pit stop about Deceptions Pass State Park. This is one of our state's most treasured state parks, and we will review the campground and what activities you can explore in the area. If this park has been on your list, you'll definitely want to give this episode a listen. Thanks so much for listening to RV Out West. Join us again next week. Please like and subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you choose to get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. I sure would appreciate it if you left a rating or a review of the show. Special thanks to Scott Holmes Music for providing us the intro song, We Are One. RV Out West can be found on Instagram and Facebook, where you can interact with us and follow along on our RV adventures around the Pacific Northwest. So get out there, explore, and go see what's beyond the horizon.